and Medea on Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure and do let a couple of your friends know that you listen to the Guy James Show every day and encourage them to tune in to all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. Jeff and Bob and John Fox and Dr. Bill and Mark Levine, everybody. Thanks for being with us today on the Guy James Show.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is threatening another veto of the latest Iraq War funding bill. House Democratic leaders are considering a short-term funding for the war through the summer to be followed by a reevaluation to see if progress is being made in Iraq. Defense Secretary Robert Gates told a Senate panel today that if there is progress in Iraq this fall, the U.S. could begin a troop withdrawal. American military commanders are expected to reevaluate the security situation in Iraq in September. According to the latest CNN poll, 65% of Americans disapprove of the war in Iraq. 57% say they want Congress to pass a bill setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. forces. Vice President Dick Cheney made an unannounced stop in Iraq today as part of his trip to the Middle East this week. The vice president met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to discuss security and political issues. He said the country remains a dangerous place. While he was at the U.S. Embassy in the heavily fortified Green Zone, a loud explosion was heard, which was a mortar round. In the Kurdish city of Erbil today, a suicide truck bomb blast killed 14 people at the Interior Ministry. Dozens were wounded in the explosion, which is being blamed on Al-Qaeda insurgents. British Prime Minister Tony Blair will make an announcement about his future tomorrow. He is expected to say when he plans to leave office, which he has held for 10 years. In the UK this morning, Scotland Yard arrested four more suspects tied to the 2005 train and bus bombings, which killed 52 people. In Nigeria, four American oil workers were abducted by rebels today from a construction barge. Yesterday, militants blew up three major oil pipelines. Pope Benedict is on his way to Latin America for his first trip since he became pontiff in 2005. He will spend 5 days in Brazil, where he is expected to speak about poverty and crime. The Pope also denounced the politicians in Mexico City who recently voted to legalize abortion in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. President Bush visited the southwest Kansas region hit hard by a tornado last weekend. At least 11 people were killed by the storm, which virtually flattened Greensburg, the farming town of 1,600 people. The district attorney in Riverside County, California, will seek the death penalty for the man accused of setting a massive wildfire that killed five firefighters last fall. This is QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
A massive wildfire is burning in Los Angeles near the Griffith Observatory. At least 300 residents were evacuated last night. However, some were allowed to return to their homes today. More than 800 acres have been burned, and 200 firefighters have been called out to fight the fire, which is now 50% contained. In Georgia, persistent drought conditions have contributed to 200 wildfires burning across the state. The largest fire in Georgia's history has moved across state lines into northern Florida. 3 weeks before the start of hurricane season, the first named Atlantic storm of 2007 has formed off the southeastern U.S. coast. Scientists from Singapore who studied gamblers concluded that when people are tired, they are more likely to make riskier options with the possibility of a high payoff. The research will be published in the journal Sleep. The Federal Reserve has decided to keep short-term interest rates unchanged at 5.25%. The vote was unanimous, and it is the seventh time the Fed met and decided to hold rates steady. And a newly released survey finds London the most expensive place to live in the world. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.47 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street, the Dow in record territory, up 54 points at 13,363, and the Nasdaq is up 5. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Do you remember where you were, Election Tuesday, November 2000? I remember it like it was yesterday. I was there sitting in a house of a friend of mine, a very close friend, and we were going through the returns. I do what I've done really since I was about 10 years old. I had an electoral map of the state. I had the various poll numbers. I knew which states were going for which candidate and which ones were close to the map. And indeed, I predicted every single state accurately, I'm proud to say, in the election of 2000, including that Florida would go for Al Gore. I remember in the early evening when they announced that Florida had gone for Al Gore, I called my friends, I called my family, I had done my electoral math, I knew that Al Gore would be the next president of the United States, and I was very excited to continue the Clinton legacy with a man that I trust and still very much think would make an excellent president to this day, Al Gore. But then things got weird. Things got really weird. Despite the exit polls, which showed overwhelming, not overwhelming, but certainly enough statistical support to throw Florida for Gore, we saw that in places that were assumed to go very strongly for Gore, places like Palm Beach County, where you had a large Jewish population, large African-American population, traditional supporters of the Democratic Party, lo and behold, they were pulling the lever for Pat Buchanan. Patrick Buchanan, the Reform Party candidate, the candidate, I should say, that when I used to work hunting Nazis in the Justice Department, would defend every Nazi war criminal that we were trying to deport. Why would Holocaust survivors in Palm Beach County vote for Pat Buchanan? We later learned the reason. It was a poorly designed butterfly ballot where you punch the hole in, and you mean to vote for Gore, and you get Buchanan. More than 10,000 voters made that error, and it's not even their fault. It was the error of the voting machinery, and because of that error in the voting machinery, George Bush has been our president for all this time. Think about how the world would have been different if they had merely designed voting machines so that every vote could be counted. Then came the Supreme Court decision, which took a very bad thing, the bad voting machines, and made things worse by basically saying, we're not going to count the votes. We're just going to declare Bush as president. Suck it up, America. You lose your right to vote. Well, ever since 2000, which radicalized me and sent me from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. to play my part in helping my country, I have always understood that the most important right of any right Americans have is the right to vote. Because it's the right from which all other rights depend. Whatever your views on any issue, doesn't matter, gun control, abortion, civil rights, the environment, taxes, what health care, whatever your issue is, if you don't have a right to vote to express your interest, you might as well be living in a dictatorship. So I have worked hard. I worked hard on the House Judiciary Committee to work on a voting bill. It's that time when I learned about the bill from Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey that would require paper verified voting records. And in fact, I had Rush Holt on this show years ago in my very first year on the air to talk about his bill at a time when the Republicans were in charge and it didn't look like the bill was going anywhere. Well, I'm proud to give you some good news today, both with regard to Rush Holt's bill and to verified voting in the future. For once, we have a reason to be optimistic, and to discuss this is someone who's worked tirelessly, even more than I have, but really, day in, day out, it's Pamela Smith. She's the president of Verified Voting. You can find her website at verifiedvoting.org. Pam Smith, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry for the long introduction, but it's an issue I'm passionate about and I've cared about for a long time. Tell me this, where is Rush Holt's bill?
We're excited to let everyone know that the bill has just passed through the committee process, a long and arduous process that involves looking to see if parts need to be amended and then coming up with the amended version. The committee then votes on it. And now what that means is the bill can go to the full House of Representatives floor for a floor vote.
Now, let me ask you this. Of course, I'm an old insider, so I know some of these details. I know it passed the Committee on House Administration. My guess is that it would also have to pass the House Judiciary Committee as well. Is that right?
That's probably true. And you probably know more about those details than
okay,
I do.
Okay, so we actually probably have one more committee to go. That committee is run by John Conyers. I have great faith in the Democratic majority on that committee. I have no doubt that it will pass through that committee as well. I mean, that's the committee I worked on. That's my homies, right? That's who I know well. And all of them, from John Conyers to Jerry Nadler, Mel Watt, Bobby Scott, Zoe Lofgren, these are very strong supporters of protecting the right to vote. And I think it will fly through that committee. But so tell me this. What I know less about is the Senate in this bill. What are our prospects there?
You know, I think positive about this, and I think that the Senate is going to recognize that this is something happening in 75% of the states already have taken action to provide voter-verified paper ballots that are already in place or that have bought equipment that's voter-verifiable even without passing a requirement or that have a new requirement they just passed, like Florida, that will take effect soon. So this is not something that the Senate will be, breaking new ground on here. This is just a case of following the will of the people and of the states and making it so on a federal level.
And Pam, there's so many things to talk about. I want to talk about what's going on at the state level, prospects, specifically what Rush Holt's bill does, how it improves the system, and how some say that it really doesn't go far enough. So we have a lot to talk about this hour. I also want to encourage my listeners to call in and ask their questions. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to nomorevictims.org. Give today.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know what you want?
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The right to vote, of course, is the right from which all other rights depend. And Pam Smith, the president of Verified Voting, has been fighting very hard for that right. She is proud to announce that the Committee on House Administration just passed out Rush Holt's bill, Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey, to provide a paper record for every vote in the United States of America. Pam, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks.
Tell our listeners, if you could, exactly what Congressman Holt's bill would do.
Well, I think the most important things are the basics. It requires a voter-verified paper ballot for every vote cast. That means that every single voter gets a chance to confirm on paper, on hard copy, that his or her vote was recorded accurately. And the reason that's so important is because you need that to check the vote tallies after all the initial counts are done. So the second thing, and the most important thing, is that the bill requires routine, random, manual audits, a hand count of a percentage of the paper ballots. And it will compare that hand count of the paper to a machine count and confirm if it's accurate or not. That's the key thing here. It's a two-part process. First, the voter has to check and say it's right, and then the election official has to be able to prove it's right.
And one of the things I like about the bill is if there's a discrepancy between the machine count and the paper count, what happens?
The paper governs, and that's as
the paper governs.
Yeah.
And that's really important because, well, you can use all kinds of viruses and software and tricky stuff to change an electronic machine, but it's, I mean, now, of course, Pam, people could still stuff ballots, right? I mean, and that's how they cheated back 100, 200 years ago. What protections are there for that?
Well, I think there's never any reason not to have good processes and procedures in place, and ballot stuffing is one of the examples. You have a simple process called ballot accounting that every polling place can do. They check the number of voters that come in that day to vote with the number of ballots they end up with at the end of the day. And that's something that, as simple as it is not even happening yet around the country. Some jurisdictions do it, but many don't. So you're not going to be able to do away with such good procedures just because you've improved the voting system. But
well,
the most important thing is this bill will prevent electronic ballot stuffing because you'll have the paper record that the voter can check.
I've always felt like they need to count the number of people who sign in and count the votes, and always amazed. Now I don't know what happens if you count, the records show that 123 people signed in and you have, 500 ballots. I don't know. I do. I have to tell you, I've talked with election officials about this. I've worked every day on election day since 1996 trying to help voters protect their right to vote. And they tell me that every now and then you get one off or something like that, which they attribute to someone not signing in or something like that.
Right.
But they can catch if they have, dozens and dozens or hundreds and hundreds of people to do that. Let me ask you this. One of the things the bill does is it protects the voting machines from having any internet connection. Is that right?
That's right. And not just the voting machines, but also the machines that tabulate the votes on election night. You have the machines each person uses to cast their ballot. And then you have the central tabulating machines that put all of that information together for every precinct, every polling place for the county. And so it's no good to just protect the voting machines. You've got to also protect those tabulating machines, and this bill does that. It also prevents any internet connection for the equipment that programs the ballots. That's the part that happens ahead of the election where you put in the names of all the candidates and all the issues and races that are going to be on the ballot.
And that's the part that I remember. There was a Stanford study where a professor, I think working with your organization, stuck in a virus-bound, if you will, little clip in a machine, and in less than a minute was able to change it so that he could actually change the vote count. How would that be prohibited if Rush Holt's bill becomes law?
Well, there's no right to use unauthorized software in the bill. And I think that the key is, for election officials, it may be hard to check all of those things, but if election officials have to do audits and spot check, then software that changes a vote total is going to be, you know, it could exist,
it'll be
but
caught.
If you have the paper that you're checking to make sure the tally is right and the paper governs, then you've protected against that.
Now, some voting organizations, not yours, but there are a lot of them out there. I've had Beth Harris, Black Box Voting, and everyone means well. We all want the same thing. We want our votes to count and be protected.
Yeah.
Some argue that Rush Holt's bill does not go far enough. I'm curious to know if you agree.
We hear all kinds of things that this bill doesn't do. And, you know, it's actually a fairly comprehensive bill. I think the substitute had something like 58 pages in it. It does do quite a few things. You know, it doesn't cure cancer or end the war either, but I think that...
It doesn't?
What it
You're
does,
kidding.
For
oh,
what it
all right.
Does,
I was thinking it would do that. All right.
You know, it does do what it does very well, and I think that's really important. There may... You know, I've been in this battle, as you mentioned, for a long time now, and as have you, and what I've learned in the process is you don't usually get everything all at once. You know, usually it's a step-by-step process, and I think the first most important thing is to have a way to check the accuracy of the vote count. Now, if you think that a particular type of equipment shouldn't be used, that's okay, but I think you've got to find yourself a sponsor for that bill and introduce it. What we heard in our efforts is that a ban on electronic voting machines that are called DREs, direct recording electronic machines, would not get through Congress. There's a strong, there are quite a few people who believe that's a good idea. I'm probably
is
one
that
of
because
them,
Diebold has a lobby that gives a lot of money to various members of Congress? Is that why
I don't
it wouldn't
know
get through, or there are other reasons?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much the voting machine companies per se. I would say it's more likely to be election officials who like them, or even advocates. They're you know, I've seen organizations that are working on civil rights for many years, language minority organizations that believe that this decision about what particular machine to use or what particular voting system to use should stay with the local counties, because those local counties know best what their needs are. And frankly, needs can be very different.
One of the things that surprises me is that the Supreme Court decision, Bush v. Gore, which, don't get me wrong, I have condemned this decision every which way. It literally changed my life, brought me to Washington. But one of the things in that decision, that awful, disgusting decision, is that they didn't want votes counted in different ways in Florida. That was their excuse, and it was a mighty small fig leaf. But in other words, that you didn't want different standards in different counties. And yet, if you have different counties using different voting systems, or even different states using different voting systems, that to me would seem to violate the one thing that the Supreme Court hung its hat on.
Yeah, it's an
I don't know if you have an answer
point.
To that. I don't, so I don't expect you to, but it's a tough question, isn't it?
It's an interesting point. There's been some, this is something that the legal scholars, I think, are still debating, but I know that... one of the things that came out of the passage of the Help America Vote Act, which was a direct result of Florida 2000, was a provision that says that jurisdictions have to set in place a standard for what they're going to count as a vote and what they're not going to count as a vote. And one of the problems we saw in Florida was That standard wasn't already in place before the recount began. And so you had some jurisdictions saying, yes, this half-hanging chad is a vote, and others saying, no, it's got to be fully punched out. And so you had a different standard for what would be counted. There are other states that have done a great job of setting their standards and explaining them very clearly. You might have a voter that doesn't fill in the bubble, you know, the circle on an optical scan paper ballot. There's a little circle to fill in, just like a standardized test that you take at school. And you might have a voter who doesn't fill that in and instead marks it with a check mark. Technically, that's incorrect. But if that's what they do for every single mark they make, clearly that's their intent. And if you know that, you know, you can count it. And having those standards set ahead of time is important.
One of the things that always amazed me about the Supreme Court decision is that Florida law at that time said, and I am a bit of an expert in this arcane, it's a law that's not even there anymore, but it said at the time that the intent of the voter trumps everything.
Yeah.
And so the law made it very clear, as you say, if someone checks an oval, that counts. That counts. And yet the Supreme Court said, in effect, we can't know what counts, what doesn't count, and no time left, Bush wins. And so I hope that a bill like Rush Holtz will prevent a travesty like Bush v. Gore from ever happening again. We have to take another break. We are now taking phone calls. If you want to call in, it's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. I want to talk about what's going on in the various states and whether George Bush would actually sign this bill into law. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I fear that the Democrats are going to cave into Bush on continued funding for the Iraq war and occupation, but even if they don't, Bush may keep the funding going by way of an illegal maneuver he's been using about 1,000 times since he became president, and that's the use of a so-called presidential signing statement. It's quite conceivable that Bush will sign the next bill that comes to his desk dealing with the Iraq war, but this time he'll append one of his presidential asterisks and say, as he has many times before, that he's enforcing this only to the extent that it doesn't interfere with his powers as commander-in-chief. This could and should provoke a constitutional crisis, and to her credit, Nancy Pelosi is prepared for this. According to Daily Kos, she recently told a group of bloggers that Congress can take the president to court if he does this. The president really has only two choices when Congress delivers him a bill, at least according to the Constitution. He can sign it and therefore enforce it, or he can veto it. He can't sign it and then not enforce it, since he's sworn to uphold the laws of the land and to see that they're properly executed. But Bush hasn't been doing this, and this practice has to be stopped, and what better place to stop it than on cutting off funding for the Iraq war? I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Pam Smith. She is the president of Verified Voting and a real advocate for protecting our right to vote. Pam, how long have you been involved in this battle, I should say?
Well, I've been interested in voting issues for a very long time, but I got involved in this sort of verifiability issue towards the end of 2003 when my own county was looking to buy more than 10,000 paperless touchscreen voting machines.
And, wow. Where is your county?
I'm in San Diego County in California.
Okay.
It's a fairly large county. It's bigger than some states. We have 1.4 million registered voters and almost 2,000 precincts, so it's pretty big.
And they were going to buy paperless ballots. Were they Diebold machines?
Yes, Diebold paperless touchscreens. And, you know,
so that's like three strikes.
Exactly.
Diebold, paperless, and touchscreen.
We tried to warn the county about these issues, and they went ahead without paying much attention. And, in fact, the next election that happened after that, it was a special election, March of 2004, was pretty much a disaster. And in April, the end of April of 2004, they decertified that voting system. So,
explain this to me. You warned your local election officials in San Diego, don't do this.
Yeah.
They ignored you. Why? I think they're listening now, which is so ironic. Why did they ignore you back in 03?
Well, we came to this late in the game. By the time that I learned of it, you know, the contract was all but signed. They'd gone through a request for proposal process and so on and so forth. But we had some concerns over the voting system they were looking at because we felt that certain components had not been tested and certified. It turned out that that was correct, but, you know, the election official in the county was the one that the county board was listening to. So, you know,
this is an interesting issue to me because it's a real grassroots issue. I mean, voting has, with the exception of Rush Holt, and I give him kudos for that, but really almost no one, I mean, you and I and Bev Harris, others have this issue sort of close to our heart. But it's amazing to me that this is really the power of grassroots. I mean, when I look at the chart on your website at verifiedvoting.org, and we see how many states are green and how many are, you know, yellow, and of course most in the South are still red, but I'm amazed at how far we've come.
I should point out that there are some more additions to that chart, which I have to get out my box of crayons and do some more coloring there.
We're getting greener.
Virginia. Yeah, exactly. In Virginia there was a bill signed into law in April by Governor Kaine that basically will mean that no more new paperless DREs can be bought in the state. Any new equipment that gets bought will be paper optical scan balloting system.
Okay.
Which is,
well, that's a start. It's like a grandfather clause. That's a start. Of course, we want to change the ones that exist in Virginia now.
Exactly. And then Maryland passed a bill that essentially would phase out DREs and go to optical scan. That's awaiting the governor's signature there. Iowa passed a bill in the end of April. And Florida just passed a very strong bill
that's the most shocking to me of all. I mean, Florida it was always the one. I mean, I used to have Ian Sancho on my show like every 3 months. He was he's of course the head of elections in Tallahassee, a fervent, very strong supporter of having verified voting, and in fact one who got a lot of trouble with the governor and the secretary of state because he was basically refusing the state, I don't know if he had power to, but he was saying to the state, no, you're not going to put those Diebold machines in my jurisdiction. Florida was the worst of all. How is it that Florida has changed its mind?
Well, it's important to know that they do have a new governor, and this governor is somebody who cares about the vote being accurate. And
so Jeb Bush is gone.
Takes a lot of pride in not wanting Florida to be sort of the next Florida, as they say, with the election problems. And I think.
And this is actually a Republican governor.
Yeah, it's Governor Charlie Crist.
Which is actually a good sign. I mean, in Virginia and Maryland, the two governors that are doing a good job are both Democrats. I'm glad to see that there are Republicans who say that whatever your party, it shouldn't be a party issue. You should care about Americans' right to vote. So I'll give kudos out to.
And I'll tell you, one of the first state to put in place voter verified paper audit trails on their DREs was Nevada. Nevada did this under the direction of Republican Secretary of State. There is a Republican senator from Nevada who introduced voter verified paper record legislation in the Senate in years past and is looking at it again. So, this has definitely not been, Michigan had a Republican Secretary of State that shifted the whole state to optical scan.
I'm really glad to hear that. And
it
makes me think that the Senate, there's a really good chance for passage in the Senate. I mean, I just can't imagine you know, Mitch McConnell leading a filibuster, even though I'm sure he's against this bill, but leading a filibuster to say, no, we want to protect the right to have fraud in our voting. I mean, it's a really hard issue to argue the other side of, I would
think. It is hard. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was first getting involved in this locally in San Diego, I was asked to come and speak at a group and that wanted to learn more about the issue, and I accepted, and they told me, you know, usually we do this in a debate format. Is there somebody you can think of who would sort of take the opposing position? And I smiled and I said, well, I represent a group called Safe, Accurate, Verified Elections. If you can find somebody who's against that, I'm happy to debate that.
Well, the only argument I ever hear is cost. I mean, the only negative I ever hear on this is they say, well, these machines cost a few million dollars. You know, here we are spending hundreds of billions of dollars and thousands of lives to try and fail to bring democracy to Iraq. It amazes me that people won't spend a few hundred million to bring democracy to the United States. But that is an argument that they do give. How much will this bill cost?
The bill has appropriations of $1 billion. You know, that's a big number, but you have to ask yourself, what's your democracy worth?
It's 1/500th the cost of the war in Iraq.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket when you think about it.
Let me go to the phone lines. We've got Dave from California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, folks. I very much appreciate both of you for taking this issue on. It so desperately needs to be. And we go back to a time when you had Clint Curtis. There's no question in my mind those machines were designed to do what they've done. They've put criminals into power, and they don't intend to give them up easily. I also know that people that are far more computer literate than I say that you can make these machines do just about anything if you know what you're doing. They can hand you a paper ballot that says one thing but count your vote another way. So there's a general feeling that we need to have sure paper that is physically there that can be counted.
Are you convinced that Rush Holt's bill is enough, Dave?
No, I'm not. I think he's a well-minded. He's a Ph.D. in computer science, and he knows what he's talking about far better than me. But I do believe that those who will cheat will find ways to do it if they've got electronic machines with modems to do it. Yes. I recall back to the day that you spoke of the 2000 election when the TV stations all were going for Gore, saying he'd won. The cameras went to Senior Bush, and he, oh, no, I don't accept that, and he headed inside, and that's when I think the D-Bowl machines got put humming.
In fact, Dave, Al Gore has said, talked about his conversation with George Bush on the night of the election when he withdrew his concession. I myself was dialing everyone I knew in the Gore campaign saying, don't concede, there's this Buchanan spike in Palm Springs, and I actually called that into CNN, I have to tell you. Others may have done it too, but I was checking the counties, and I called that in before they reported it, I'm very proud to say. But when Gore did not concede, when he withdrew his concession, George Bush said, and this is Gore quoting Bush, and I certainly trust Gore, he said that George Bush said, my brother tells me we've won Florida, at which point Al Gore said, you know, your brother, Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, does not control this. Little did Al Gore know that perhaps Jeb Bush did control this, and I think it's fascinating that it's only with Jeb Bush gone that we're finally getting some results in Florida. Pam, do you have a comment?
Well, I wanted to thank Dave for his comments, and I think it's, you know, in fact, our organization was founded by a computer scientist from Stanford who was asked to serve on a task force about electronic voting here in the state of California, and, you know, his feeling was, computers for voting, no paper, that doesn't seem like a good idea, and that's how our organization was started. I think that this, you know, I hope, Dave, you'll support the bill in the sense of it being definitely a step in the right direction. One of the things that we think is going to happen with this bill is because paper optical scan voting systems are less expensive to operate, less expensive to buy, and do meet the standard of this bill, that's something that the currently paperless jurisdictions will end up going to. They have a deadline of November 2008, and they're going to need to get something relatively soon, and it's going to have to be, since it's really the only thing that will meet the standard right now, it's going to probably have to be optical scans. So we see this as a way of getting shifting more voters to paper optical scan ballots than...
And well, one of the things I really like is that would mean we could, in fact, have a nationwide standard. If every single jurisdiction or at least 99% of them, uses these optical scan ballots. And, you know, most of us, we're, right now, everyone, I don't know, under a certain age, probably most of us, you know, are used to standardized tests. We're used to filling in the ovals. It's not that hard to figure out a voter's intent on those things. And that might be a great nationwide system. We're going to take another break, folks. If you want to call in, the toll-free number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. When we come back, the great question to Pam Smith, will George Bush veto this bill? I'll ask her right after the break.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Pamela Smith. She is the president of Verified Voting. You can find her website at verifiedvoting.org. You can also link to it from my website, radioinsidescoop.com. They certainly could use your help, and they're doing a terrific job, not just at the federal level, but also at the state level, where state by state, because remember, voting is mostly state by state, folks. State by state, they are turning our nation from red, which is their color that shows that basically no paper records ballots, to green, to having a fully audited, verified voting system. And if you want to give a donation, I can't think of a better place to give to, actually. It's nice to give good news. The good news is that the Rush-Holtz bill, the federal bill to require verified voting, paperless records, has passed the House Administration Committee I am confident we'll pass the House Judiciary Committee. I base that on the people I know there. I have no problem with that. I'm also fairly confident we'll pass the House. And with Pam's help, I think it's going to pass the Senate. She mentioned a number of Republican senators that are on board. The question then, Pam, becomes, will President Bush sign this bill?
You know, I can't think of a reason for him not to. You know, I really think that this is eminently signable, and if the Senate supports it, you know, there's no reason not to. This is something that, like I said, 75% of the states are already doing this.
Now, has the White House stated a position on this bill?
No, they haven't. And in fact, I remember even a couple of years ago talking to someone who was in the White House and asking if they had an opinion, and they said, you know, we just haven't really thought about it yet. But that was a couple of years ago. So I don't know where they are on it or if it's crossed their radar. I would hope so. But really, it seems like something that would make good sense to sign.
I don't believe that they haven't thought about it yet. I don't believe that at all. I actually am a bit more conspiratorial alongside Dave. I have had Clint Curtis on the show. He tells a very strong story of how Florida hired him to, in effect, create software that would help cheat an electronic ballot. I myself am very suspicious of the recent election that put Vern Buchanan in the Congress from Florida after his Democratic opponent, she received, you know, so much more support in the polls. And then when the votes came in, the counties where she had support, tens of thousands of votes were missing. So I don't think the White House I don't think they're so innocent, but I'll tell you this. They may not be able to give a good reason to oppose it, because even if they do oppose it, even if they want to protect fraud, I just don't know how you argue to the American people, we want to protect fraud. And even Karl Rove, he'd have a hard time doing that. He may. But I think they may have to sign it just because it's very hard to argue that it shouldn't be protected.
I should also point out that in the states where legislation has passed, it's passed unanimously or very nearly so in almost every single case. And,
well, then that's
and
important
that's
too.
That it's, you know, that it is a bipartisan issue and a nonpartisan issue, and I think that that's really crucial.
Once it comes up for a vote, I don't think people can vote against it. The trick is to keep it from coming up to a vote. I mean, Rush Holt's bill is very old. When I sat on I didn't sit on the House Judiciary Committee. I'm a little bit magnifying it. I sat behind the House Judiciary Committee on those little window sills, which are very uncomfortable. But when I worked to help the House Judiciary Committee as a counsel, Rush Holt's bill was there, and the Republicans would not allow it to come up for a vote. I think if it had come up for a vote, even in 2001, it would have passed by a very large margin. But they wouldn't allow it to come up for a vote. At this point, I just don't think Bush can refuse. Tell me this, though. At the state level, when you get opposition, who's opposing this? Or is the answer is there really is no one that's outwardly opposing it?
I think that there are people who say, you know, this isn't something we need. You know, they've sort of bought into the idea that the technology is solving problems. That, you know, new technology solves problems that they saw with old technology, but you know, just like with AstroTurf, you know, it isn't always that newer is better. AstroTurf was replacing grass fields in sports stadiums across the country, and suddenly they found out that athletes were becoming injured at a much higher rate, and they tore it all up and put grass down again. You know, and this is one of those cases where, you know, paper is tried and true. Paper doesn't fail to boot up. Paper is something that people understand. Paper is something that you can count manually even if your machines all break down and your power goes out. So there are a lot of advantages to this, and I think that once people recognize that, you know, they see that this is worthwhile doing.
Pam, one of the concerns, and one of the ones, in fact, embodied in the Help America Vote Act, as imperfect as it is, one of the things, the few good things that it did do, was to provide for the disabled community. There are people who are blind who need to vote. There are people who need help writing or need help understanding the machines or can't physically manipulate them. And Help America Vote Act did help people with disabilities. One of the concerns I do occasionally hear about either Rush Holt's bill or verified voting in general is that it will go backward for disabled voters. I'm wondering if you have a response on that.
I actually see this as going forward. You know, no one can verify their vote on a paperless touchscreen. And that's true whether you're an individual with a disability or whether you're some other voter, whether you're a voter with a different language use. You can't verify for certain that your vote was accurately recorded. The Holt bill actually enhances those accessibility requirements of the Help America Vote Act by requiring not just that the voting systems be equipped for individuals with disabilities, but that the whole process, the ballot verification, and casting can be equipped for individuals with disabilities. They want every voter to, we all want every voter to be able to verify the contents of the ballot. And so when you look at an accessible system that's also language accessible, you know, this is an advantage. This is not a disadvantage. So I really think that, you know, this is something we've taken very seriously for a long time. And in fact, during the last election, we put together a survey to find out, you know, just how accessible polling places and voting systems are at this point. And, you know, we're a little disappointed a little bit to find out that, you know, we're not there yet. We've still got a ways to go. And I like this bill because it does seek to make the paper record verifiable for every voter.
Would a blind voter get a Braille ballot? I mean, how does that work?
Well, actually, Braille ballots work for someone who is both blind and deaf, and it may be the only voting system that will work for someone who has both of those disabilities. But most people can use an accessible device, such as a ballot marking device. And what that does is it uses a paper ballot, but it uses an electronic interface similar to the DREs, to the touch screens, and it uses that interface to help you go through the ballot and make your selections, but then it prints those selections onto paper. And that means that everybody has the same kind of ballot. You don't have, you know, sort of a segregated ballot for some voters and not for others. And that's also true for people with different language abilities.
I was just saying, if someone is blind but not deaf, and obviously there's a very, very small number that are both, but if someone is blind but not deaf, do they speak their choice into the ballot? How do they indicate what they want?
No, there's an interactive interface that has a keypad and different types of actually input systems. The ballot marking devices have a dual switch capability, which means that you can use something like a SIP-PUF device, you can use a keyboard, you can use a joystick, you can use a variety of different mechanisms, jelly switches, foot switch, all which will let you provide input into the system. And so it'll give you your choice, and then you can use one of these input devices to make that selection.
Well, I don't know if it's too late to have any influence on the bill. It may still go before the House Judiciary Committee. If it does, one thing I would suggest is that at least all the people that are using the special disability machines have a little star or something by their name in the voting book, so that, in other words, we see that there's 27 ballots that are printed off the special disability machine, there are 27 disabled voters who signed in, and that would prevent anyone from stuffing that portion of it. I don't know if you've gotten that specific, but it's always, you know, we all have ideas, and that would at least be my idea to try to protect that little loophole from harming the process.
I'd like to see everybody who needs to and wants to use a system like that, because it does tend to provide a real clear, accurate mark on the paper. But I think that it's important to do just ballot accounting for everybody. Make sure that the same number of voters that checked in is the number of ballots you have. That's a really simple, straightforward thing that every election jurisdiction can do.
Let me ask you this. As I look at your map of the states, and I remember when this map was mostly red, so I'm very proud of your organization for getting it more green and yellow, and I know you've got some colors to change. But how different are the bills in your green states? I mean, you have four different colors on your map. How are you promoting a uniform standard? One of the things we do in the law, I know, is sometimes it helps to have all 50 states, frankly, have the same law. We do this for things like child support when people move across states and enforcement of judgments. And so we have things called uniform acts. As a lawyer, I could tell you there's a Uniform Enforcement of Judgment Act. There's a Uniform Child Support Act. Have you considered a uniform voting act? I mean, are you promoting one particular bill for all these states, or are they still pretty different?
We're not, and I think it gets tricky when you get into elections, because traditionally elections have been run and managed on a local level. Where the federal government gets to have any say about it is with respect to federal elections. And you have rural counties in upstate Maine that are, you know, and New Hampshire and other places that are counting paper ballots by hand still. And you have other jurisdictions.
That's paper ballots.
You have other jurisdictions that are, you know, using all machines. You have jurisdictions that are 100% vote by mail. And I think that the key here is that the one thing that we want to make sure is uniform is that everybody gets a paper ballot that they can check for accuracy, and that every state has to do audits. Right now, actually only about 15 states have any kind of audit provision, and not all of them have something to audit. They're, you know, they've got paperless equipment in some of their counties, so they can't even do their audit that their law requires.
What does an audit mean if there's no paper?
Well, it may be that the requirement for the audit was passed before they ended up with paperless machines. And, you know, nobody thought of that at the time. So some people are arguing this makes these machines illegal, and I would agree with them if you can't audit them. But, you know, if a bill like this passes, when it does, then it makes sure that audits are being done nationwide, and I really think that's crucial.
One of the things that scares me is that while it's very hard for anyone to oppose this bill, it is easy for people to run out the clock. That's sort of a favored tactic of opponents of legislation. When you can't openly say you're against a bill but you don't like it, you just kind of put it on, you know, for last minute. If this thing doesn't pass the House and the Senate until say early 08, then I think either Bush could veto it or on the grounds that there's no time before November, or the states could say, sorry, there's just no time for us to get it done by November 08. I assume time is really much of the essence in this bill.
It very much is, and I would say that we're not going to have a problem, I hope, in the House, because I think this is a priority of the House to get this done. As far as the Senate side goes, you know, we would encourage everyone to contact their senators and say, when this comes to the Senate, vote for it. Let's get this done. You know, worst case scenario, it may be that if something happens late, they'll change a deadline. But the bottom line is it's important to make sure that at some date certain, every election has paper ballots.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get it done by November 08, though. I mean, I'd be great if by 2012 we have fair elections. But,
yeah.
You know, let me ask you this. Has Harry Reid, the majority leader of the Senate, has he given you indication that he's going to make this a priority?
Not yet, but we're hopeful, and Senator Feinstein is definitely making this a priority, and she is the one who's in charge of the Senate Rules Committee, which is, you know, the
okay,
one.
Okay, so in other words, she can push it through.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. So
yeah.
People, what can people do? They can go to your website. They can certainly contribute to your cause. They should call their senators, you think? That's where they need to focus right now?
They definitely should, and they should call their congressman and make sure that that person is on the bill as a co-sponsor, or at minimum will vote for it when it comes to the floor for a vote. And they should get on our mailing list, because we often send out action alerts to let people know this is a good time to call or to write, and it will have a link for an email to send.
I wouldn't have known that it passed the House Administration Committee if it weren't for one of these action alerts. You know, it's not on the front page of the newspapers, even though I think it should be.
Right.
So really, if you want to know what's going on, add yourself to Pam's email list. It's not that hard to do. And she doesn't over email you either, as some organizations do. I'll just give you a shout out for that. Pam, we've got to go soon. Is there any last comments you want to make about the future of verified voting?
I do. I want to say a big thank you to average citizens, and I wouldn't call them average, to citizens around the country who have been working tirelessly for this. You know, I work for an organization, Verified Voting. It's a national group. There are other national groups working on this issue as well. But there are people who work a day job and then come home in the evening and sit down and write letters and make phone calls and strategize and meet with each other and go talk to their congresspeople, and they come to D.C. on their own nickel to do it sometimes. And, you know, these are the people who are really making this happen nationwide. I can't thank them enough. Anything we can do to support that, we will do.
And Pam Smith, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Appreciate it.
That's it for today's show. Tomorrow we're going to do the week in review. All topics are valid. Everything from more on the Attorney General scandal. You wouldn't think it could get worse, but it has. To some strange comments by a congressman from California, Dana Rohrabacher, who appears to defend the practice of kidnapping and torturing innocent people. Amazing stuff. We'll get to it tomorrow. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. Vice President Dick Cheney made an unannounced stop in Iraq as part of his trip to the Middle East this week. The vice president met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to discuss security and political issues. He said the country remains a dangerous place. While he was at the U.S. Embassy in the heavily fortified Green Zone, a loud explosion was heard, which was a mortar round. President Bush is threatening another veto of the latest Iraq war funding bill. House Democratic leaders are considering a short-term funding for the war through the summer, followed by a reevaluation to see if progress is being made in Iraq. Defense Secretary Robert Gates told a Senate panel today that if there is progress in Iraq this fall, the U.S. could begin a troop withdrawal. American military commanders are expected to reevaluate the security situation in September. According to the latest CNN poll, 65% of Americans disapprove of the war in Iraq. 57% say they want Congress to pass a bill setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. forces. In the Kurdish city of Erbil today, a suicide truck bomb blast killed 14 people at the Interior Ministry. Dozens were wounded in the explosion, which is being blamed on al-Qaeda insurgents. British Prime Minister Tony Blair will make an announcement about his future tomorrow. He is expected to say when he plans to leave office. In the UK this morning, Scotland Yard arrested four more suspects tied to the 2005 train and bus bombings, which killed 52 people. In Nigeria, four American oil workers were abducted by rebels today from a construction barge. Yesterday, militants blew up three major oil pipelines. Pope Benedict arrived in Brazil for his first trip to Latin America as pontiff. He will spend about 5 days there, where he's expected to speak about poverty and crime. The Pope also denounced the politicians in Mexico City who recently voted to legalize abortion in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. President Bush